Welcome to another episode of the Army in Time podcast. This week is going to sound a little bit like I'm recording on my phone, because I am. I'm actually in the field. We have a field exercise going on, which is not crazy. If you're in the military, it's a staff ex, it's a warfighter event, which for those of you that are not in the military, it's basically when we go out and we war game, right? We're not really training, we war gaming. But every communication system and the whole architecture has to be set up. So because of that, we're out here. And, you know, we set up everything, come in every day. We're doing shifts, basically. It's 24-7, but it's in shifts. So we get to go home. You know, we are soft right now because we're in the staff. So, you know, I'm not out there doing any Rambo shit. We're very soft right now. So, yeah. And because of that, I don't have my mic. I don't have my computer. So we're recording a little bit incognito this time. And it's not going to sound perfectly. You know, it's not going to sound great. But I wanted to put an episode there because of this exercise, I had to put kind of like a pause between my last episode and the next time I'm going to be interviewing brands, right? Last time we talked to Peter from Jack Mason. Great interview. I thought it was amazing being able to talk to him. It's a great brand. They're doing some really cool, some great stuff. So that was a great thing, great episode. But I had to put a pause because, you know, these brands are busy. They don't have 800 people working for them. So it's kind of hard. And, you know, I don't want to have to tell them, hey, I can only record at this time period. I want to work with them. So because of that, you know, I had to put a pause until this exercise finishes, which is 3 weeks total. And we're on week number two, going into week number three. So, you know, towards the end of the month, the next episode interviewing a brand should come up. I'm not going to tell you what brand it is. But what I will tell you is a lot of these brands that I'm going to be interviewing are part or have come on board with Intersect, the Intersect show. You know, they're independent or small brands. So I think putting a shine to them and at the same time making sure it's also out there in their own voice as opposed as, you know, only the people that are able to fly over there or travel to where the show is at. That way we can spread the word a little bit more. And obviously, you know, I enjoy talking to brands, see their thought process after every watch or how it come to be, how each watch came to be. You know, talking to Peter about how the Hydra timer came to be and how, you know, their GMT, the Strata timer came to be. That was an amazing story. You know, it was really cool. So if you haven't listened, go listen back to that episode. Really good episode. But this week, you know, we're going to be covering some new releases and a little bit of talk about the watch culture and the military and some stuff that I have seen since I got back from deployment. But I'm not going to talk about every single release in the time because I am recording in the field in an empty tent. So let's go ahead and start. But Seiko release or re-release or re-re-release. Seiko Prospects 1965 Heritage Diver, and this time is the SPB 451, 453, and 455, which, you know, it's crazy because they re-released this one, what, a year and a half, a year ago, and it was different, and then, well, pretty much the same, but a little bit bigger, very few changes that they have done, and with this iteration, one of the biggest thing is that they went a little bit smaller. A little bit smaller, you know. Is that, you know, 62 miles kind of modern interpretation. I think it was 2020, so it's been about 4 years. But anyway, they this one's went from 40.5 to 40 millimeter flat. And I welcome that, you know. Definitely, Seiko is a watch company who is very good at having watches seem smaller or wear smaller than what they really are. Their lug-to-lugs tend to be really good. But even then, you know, I think that watches, or the interest in watches, is moving towards smaller watches again. And I'm not talking about 32, 34s, but I'm talking about, you know, 40, 39s is where majority of people are right now. With the exception of probably Jason, who has like a 10-inch wrist. But, you know, those are very, very far in between people that exist with a 10-inch wrist. So definitely not the norm. And Jason is blessed with a 10-inch wrist. But for everybody else, the rest of us, you know, having a 40-inch or a 40-millimeter watch is a great size. And yeah, 0.5 doesn't seem like a lot, but it could be, right? So it is great that they have gone the route of 40 millimeters. On top of that, the movement, if I remember correctly, used to have 70 hours of power reserve, 70-hour power reserve. And now it has a 72-hour power reserve. So a little bit increase in battery life or power life, however you want to call it. Lug-to-lug is 46.4, which is great. 13-millimeter thickness, also not bad at all. You know, the thickness of watches really doesn't matter to me, at least, too much. I think, especially as we start going down in sizes, it not being too thin, it helps for people that like to have a more substantial watch. It kind of helps with that. This one also went up to 300 meters of water resistance. So 300 meters of water resistance, pretty good. You know, the last one was 200 meters of water resistance, and I think that was perfectly fine. But 300 meters of water resistance, I guess, you know, it pacifies the people that, what would they do if they can't go swim in a 7 feet deep pool, you know, once a year. You know, it's crazy. Yeah, 200 meters of water resistance is perfectly fine. Screw down crown is perfectly fine. That combination is perfect. But nevertheless, this one is 300 meters water resistance. So if you're one of those that has to have 300 meters of water resistance, because how else are you going to go kill great white sharks, right? So this is for you. But, you know, 0.5 smaller, 0.2 millimeters thinner, and I think it was like 1 millimeter or 1.52 millimeters shorter from lug to lug. It's welcome, in my opinion. You know, it's a great measurements, and it's gonna wear amazingly. Just for concept, right? My Grand Seiko is 39.5 millimeters, and the lug to lug is 46.5. And this one is 46.4, but it's 40 millimeters. So it's going to wear very similar to the Grand Seiko that I have, if you've seen it in my profile. And then the date, still there, but now it's not at 3 o'clock. The date went to the 4:30. It's not at 4, it's at 4:30. I get it. You know, there's a lot of people saying, hey, you should have just keep it no date. Just go with no date. But, you know, you're not the only one buying this watch. And there is people that really love to have a date. So having a date window for some people is a must. So, you know, they can't please everyone. I think this date window is very well executed, because this date window at 4:30 is kind of in between the markers. It's a circular date window, and it's the same color of the dial. So it's not a white background date window. So it doesn't, stare at you hardly at all, It's very small. It's just enough for the number. So it's, I think it's a great execution of it. It looks good. I think it's the right placement. My favorite is 6 o'clock, but if you're not going to put it at 6 o'clock, I think this is executed very well, honestly. I like it. It has curved sapphire crystal, super hard coating, which is what's crazy is micro brands have been doing this for a little bit now, and now you see bigger brands starting to do it more and more. And I think it's welcome because obviously I don't care about scratching my watches, but a lot of people do. Matter of fact, in this exercise, I was talking to a captain who is looking into getting into Rolex, and he was surprised that someone else in this exercise is wearing a Rolex Submariner, and it wears it every day, doesn't matter what he does. And this captain was outraged that this person was wearing a Rolex every day for work while we're in the field. And I was talking to him, and I was like, that's what it's for. But it, for people like him, I guess this is very welcome. This watch is gonna look good on a strap, on the bracelet. It's great. Aluminum bezel. I love aluminum bezels. I love aluminum bezels. Yeah, sapphire bezels are great. But man, this aluminum bezels just look, to me, more utilitarian, more, as a tool watch. It just gives you that look. I love it. I freaking love it. So that's great. Now, for the colors, it comes in black, kind of like a, white markers, black and white, basically. Looks very sexy, very modern, right? Type of diver. And then you have the black kind of faded brownish with a patina colored markers, golder brush or brass hands, and the same for the bezel. So it looks really good too. And then you have blue and white, really good color. I think the black looks the best. The black, pure black with white. When it comes to the aluminum bezel, oh, it looks so good. But not for everyone, I guess. It's whatever your choice is. So, it's I don't know. I like it. I think it's great. I really think it's great. Now, the thing that I don't like, man. There's a lot of text on this shit. Like, on top it says Seiko, and that's great. But even having only three lines at the bottom, they executed the text very freaking weird, man. Like, what the fuck is this? It's X for prospects, and that's great. We have come to, expect that on every Seiko prospects. But underneath that, it says automatic. 3 days in the same line, automatic 3 days. Doesn't make sense as a sentence, and it looks retarded. Who thought about that shit? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I almost would have preferred it said automatic, another line, 3 days, another line, divers. I don't know. Like, it just seems weird. Just take it off, man. Take it off. If I don't know, I would have just add the X at the bottom. And if you wanted the 300 meters, because obviously the ones before used to be 200 meters, if you want to distinguish this one in the front by saying it's 300 meters, just have the X and 300 meters. That's it. The X for prospects and underneath 300 meters, small, the same lettering size that you have right now. And it would have looked really good. But I am kind of hating the way they did it. Because it says automatic 3 days And then underneath that says divers, 300 meters. What is that? Looks like shit. Come on, Seiko. Other than that, the watch looks really good. Really good. Something that I think a lot of people will like. You know, drill lugs. Looks really good. And for those of you, thinking, what the hell is the price of this thing? The 453 and the 451 are $1,300, $1,300. The special edition, which is the blue, is $1,400. So $1,400. Or not the blue, the patina. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I think they're great. I think they look great. I think the text is stupid. But I don't know, I think I could overlook that. I think it looks really good. I really do. So, something that that you could pick up. $1,300 is not bad at all. You know, this is ISO rated, ISO rated watch, so looks really good. You know, and one comment that I saw was comparing these watches to Christopher Ward, right? People saying Christopher Ward watches, same price range, a little bit less actually, and they offer so much, and they look so good, they're better executed, they feel better, whatever it is. But think about it, right? This is a, call it whatever you want, but this is an in-house movement technically, right? And it's giving you 72 hours of power reserve. So, it's fairly really good movement, really good watch when it comes to those things, right? When you're looking at Christopher Ward, yeah, you're getting a 4 hertz movement. This one is a 3 hertz movement. A 4 hertz movement, but you're getting 36, 38 hours of power reserve. It's a big difference with Christopher Ward movements, right? Which is nothing wrong with that, but I'm saying, take your pick. You know, they can put more work into not maybe not the movement, and then people are going to complain about the movement because that's what they always do with Seiko. Put more work into the bracelet and the clasp instead of the movement, and then people are going to say, okay, great, but then they're going to charge you the same because they put more work into that. This is a give and take, It's a give and take. I think they're great for the price. Really good looking watches, really good size. I think the Seiko having the sizes more ready available is great. Think about it. They could have went with the more luxury line and charge $4,000 and just made it spring drive. We're gonna make it spring drive. That's it. So I think this is a good move. I like it. I really do. Now, the next release that everyone probably saw and everyone wants to talk about is the Omega Speedmaster with the lacquer white dial. And this one is funny, man. This one is hilarious because for me, which I am a self-prescribed Omega slash Grand Seiko fanboy, I was excited when I saw this watch. It looks sexy. It looks good. I'll tell you why, right? Sure. All they did was, in your mind, all they did, especially for Rolly Boys, they changed the dial color. And obviously, we talk a lot of shit in the community about Rolex just changing the bezel color and people going crazy. So they had to take their dig and say the same thing about us when it comes to the white dial, right? But this is the thing. I'm not a lover of chronographs. I'm not. Said it before, I think is the majority of them are very hard to read. they don't have a lot of clear distinguish, lines between the markers for hours, the subdials, the hands kind of get lost. That happens in, I will say, 98, 99% of chronographs. It doesn't matter the price range either. There is some outliers in that. And the top outlier is the Speedy, period. The Speedy has been a watch that is easy to read every single time, every single iteration. The other one for me is the Tentagraph from Grand Seiko. Got it. It is a Grand Seiko, and I said I'm an Omega and I'm a Grand Seiko fanboy, but the hands are big and they tend to be easy to read. Now, when it comes to between the two, I still think that Speedy is the easiest to read and is the most well executed, the best executed chronograph, in my opinion, for a tri compass type of a chronograph. If you're looking, if that's the reason why I tend to prefer the bicompasses, because the bicompasses are easier to read across the board, regardless of what they do right and what they do wrong, right, when it comes to the execution. But the Speedy's always been a very readable chronograph. This one, it increases that for me. It makes it even easier for me to read the time. And that's hard to do with a chronograph, honestly. And the white lacquer dial, and I'm telling you this, as of right now, no one can execute a white dial better than Omega. The S&P white dial is fucking great. And reading it, that time on that watch is so easy. So easy. And then this one takes right after that, right? And I have had multiple white dial watches. I love white dial watches. And honestly, those two are the best. I would say the Explorer, white dial Explorer has, it's easy to read. It is. I'm not saying it's not. But the execution of it for Omega is better, period. Now the execution of the Explorer with the black dial, that thing looks sexy as hell, even though my preferred continues to be the white dial. But with that being said, this is just well executed. It takes after that S&P with the darker hands as opposed to just chrome hands. Those darker hands give you that pop against the white dial, and the markers, the hour markers, are also black, and that pop, the color scheme that they use is freaking great. That it pops so good, it is really easy to read, and I appreciate that. So with that being said, to me it's really well executed, and it's exciting because like I said, for someone who's not a lover of chronographs, this could be a possibility because it's easy to read. And I like that. And obviously, Omega has amazing movements. Amazing movements. And I think there is not much that needed to be changed about this watch. So I like it. Now, is it justifiable at 8 grand? Meh. I don't know. I don't know. I think prices are continuing to go up for sure. It's not gonna they're not gonna go down anytime soon for this type of watches, right? So it 8 grand, if your only claim to 8 grand is because the watch went to space, is a little tiresome, is a little tiring. I don't know. I would also like it to see, I would like to see it a little bit smaller. Give me a little bit difference on sizing. It's 42 millimeters, 13.2, 20 millimeter lugs, and lug to lug is 47.5. It's not bad. 47 Typical dive watches tend to be about 47 millimeters lug to lug with 40 millimeters watch. So this one is 42, but it's also 47.5. So really good when it comes to measurements. But I don't know. I just don't know if it's enough for 8 grand, you know. And don't get me wrong, Omega's a great brand, and technologically, when it comes to movements, they're ahead of everyone, in my opinion. But, I'm not sure. I think a lot of people, I can see why a lot of people is growing tired of each Speedmaster getting more expensive and not a lot is changing, right? So I can see it from their perspective too, you know. But how much do you pay for a Daytona, right? How much are you paying for the Daytona? And the Daytona is horrendous at readability. There's no readability in that freaking watch. It's trash. Especially the white dial. So, I don't know. You're paying for the name of Rolex? This one you're paying for the name Omega. You know, it's, I can see it from both sides. You know, it is what it is. I would like to see a little bit of more difference. Like maybe change the color, make it a little bit smaller, you know, change the sizes so people can have variety on what they're choosing. I don't know. But anyway, this one is coaxial caliber 3861. The manual wind movement runs at 3 hertz, power reserve 50 hours. That's really good. Obviously, the tantograph is way better, but Grand Seiko, I mean, is ridiculous in movement. So I wouldn't expect anything else. Master chronometer, which means that they're resistant to magnetic forces in excess of 15,000 Gauss, and it guaranteed to keep time -0 to +5 seconds per day. So 0 to +5. I don't know why they put them on a 0, but 0 to +5. And that's great. That's amazing. You know, I think that movements are getting better. People are getting better. And when you have micro brands guaranteeing you a +5, -5, if you're Omega, Rolex, you know, Tudor, Grand Seiko, Seiko for that matter, you should be aiming for the same or better. You know, and maybe not on every watch, but your important watches should be. Your flagship watches should be. Because, you know, you got micro brands guaranteeing that now. And like I always say, you know, even with micro brands, I'm not going to let people or companies slip on, let's say, for example, bracelet quality. Because you got companies like Notice making amazing bracelets at the price point that they do. So there's no excuse. And in this one, it's going to be the same, you know, when it comes to movements. Micros and independents are catching up and, you know, biting at your heels. So if you're not improving that, then you're sucking, period. That's it. Other than that, you know, micro adjustments, bracelets for Omega are great. There was no issues about that. 8,100. Like I said, $8,000. So, yeah, I can see how it's getting more expensive, especially because the white dial is exactly, what, $100 more expensive than the black dial counterpart? And we're talking about the same watch with a different color. But again, how much do you pay for the Daytona, right? And Daytona is ugly. I said what I said. It is what it is. So, other than that, you know, there hasn't been other releases that I've been super excited about. Studio Underdog restocked their watches, and like in Studio Underdog fashion, they went ahead and canceled a bunch of orders of everyone that they were able to match on eBay, selling their watches already as soon as they put the order in. So I love that. You know, I think that That's how you can tell this is a brand that is focused on enthusiasts and people that really love their watches, because they'll take the hit because they know someone else will buy the watch and love it, but they'll take the hit at the moment and cancel those orders, so those people can go ahead and screw themselves and go cry in a corner, because they're a finance boy and everything else go the way they want it. Other than that, that's the main two releases that I wanted to cover. And in the sake of time, it's 30 minutes already, so I'm gonna cover this real quick and then head out, talk to you guys in a minute. But since I've been back, I feel like the landscape of watch culture has changed a lot, right? It's like it's been pretty much there is no love for companies anymore. Everyone hates everything everyone puts out, and we're talking about big brands. But it's funny because I feel like watch culture itself, when it comes to the companies, there's like no cool inspirations, right? Companies are afraid because they've been making so much money with this bare changes, kind of like cars. My wife has an Audi from 2018, and the same car right now looks exactly the same. There is very minor changes, and I feel like this is the same with luxury brands, right? And watches. Very few changes, and prices continue to go up. So I feel like lately, a lot of people have been in the same boat that I was before, where, people are like, I'm not gonna spend this amount of money for just this stupid ass change. And I think it's great, honestly. Because like I was saying, with the movement technology, with movement regulation and stuff like that, I think it serves big brands well. Big brands especially that treat their customers like shit because they've been doing it for so long. So, to hell with that. I think that's one of the reasons why I champion micro brands and independents so much, because what they can offer you and how they take care of you versus how freaking big companies do it, a lot of them at least, right? So I don't know, there's been a lot of that. But then when you look at it on the kind of my side, right? Our side of the military watch culture or tactical watch culture, kind of tool watch, more oriented towards tool watches. That, don't know, it's crazy because in the military, we make fun of everything the civilians do, right? Civilians complain about everything. Civilians do this about everything. They act like children. And we can apply the same shit to us. I think that when I left for the deployment, there was a lot more unity when it came to I don't know, the watch culture itself inside this niche of the military LEO first responder type of side, right? Look, friggin', at the end of the day, brands have to produce money. They have to make money in order to do whatever they do. So you can't expect them to act like you act as a private citizen and 100% of the time, because they have a bottom line that they need to meet. Okay, so I feel like sometimes we just need to grow up and apply the same shit that we make fun of the Coast Guard and the Space Force for and go ahead and apply it to ourselves and just forget about it. Like, I don't know. Just my two cents when it comes to that. And I don't know. When it comes to the watch side, man, I'm all motivated. This year, I don't even care about wind up. I don't even care about freaking any shows other than shows like Intersect, where it's all micro brands and independents. Because you see really cool shit in those shows at a price point that is sometimes inexplicable. But you go to a big show and they're gonna treat you like shit, and all you're gonna do is see a watch that seems very familiar to another for a higher price. There's no new innovation, no new styles, no real changes. That's weird. It's whack. So I don't know. I think we need to, as the consumers, the people in the watch culture, not just, and I get it. We're not everyone. It's a majority of people will be perfectly content with buying the same Rolex that their dad had, 20 years ago for 8 grand more. And they'll be fine with that. And that's fine. That's just not me. And freaking those, unfortunately, are who makes the bigger chunk of, watch purchases. So, us the enthusiast, we should be putting our money where our mouth is, to try to create change. Because if not, it's not going to change. Because I see everyone always criticizing different things. Like, a lot of people criticize Rolex and then they go buy a Rolex. So, it is what it is. But yeah, I just don't find a lot of, and I was talking to Jason about this. I don't find a lot of motivation for big brand watches right now. I don't. I have one watch that I want to buy in the next year that is, I don't know, you could consider a bigger brand, even though I think it's 100% an independent, but it's higher in price. So I'll probably say a luxury independent, right? So that one watch that I want to buy, I'm not gonna tell you which one it is. So, a few people know, a few people know, but that is the only watch I'm working. I want to work towards. Save money, maybe sell some pieces to get it. I don't know. But that's the one watch that I want to get. Everything else to me is just boring. And I am excited about the white dial Speedmaster. But even then, like, it doesn't motivate me enough to drop 8 grand for that watch. And I get it. I don't like it. I don't have to buy it. It is what it is. But that doesn't mean that the brand gets a pass. It's kind of lazy, honestly. It is what it is. So, the excitement of watches that I used to have about big brands, I'm finding more in the micro brands and the independents. And it's not only about the price, it's about what they're doing. Right, it's about what they're doing. Different type of micro clasp or micro adjustment clasp or dive clasps, different type of innovations and movement, different type of innovations and or not movement itself, but the ability to regulate that to pretty much chronometer certifications, the ability to incorporate cases with different styles of watches, utilizing only one type of case. It's and having a watch look completely different. Those type of things to me are friggin' amazing. The ability that they have to, we're gonna do double color lume, and it's gonna be really good. And friggin' basically goes in the watch for free because the watch is still the same price. Being able to have, and I'll tell you this one, right? Out of every single luxury watch that I have owned, or every watch period, and seen, it is surprising to me how many high-priced watches are basically, everything, nothing is straight. The crown doesn't screw in to a perfect up and down, right? Or at least even side to side. And then the back case. The case is not freaking straight, even if it's, when it is not a see-through case or exhibition case back. You'll get it, and it's all weird. But there's a lot of micros and independents. They're putting the hard work to have that case back come in straight up and down. The crown, very minimal movements to a side where you is barely noticeable, but it's pretty much perfect. Those things matter. That's hard work put into a watch, man. And I just don't see it from big brands as much anymore. To me, that's exciting because you know how hard it is. How hard it is to get a crown to screw how you want it. Or the case back, Freaking, I don't know. It's just, to me, we should never give them a pass. And we're like everything else in our lives, we're getting kind of encamped into sides and Omega versus Rolex versus Grand Seiko versus whatever. But I'll tell you what, I'm very freaking enthusiastic about those micros and independents. So that's pretty much it. I wanted to talk a little bit about, what I have seen since I got back when it comes to the watch culture, when it comes to watches from big companies and the so-called innovation that they have and so on and so on. But ultimately, for us, they're in this niche of tool watches and military and stuff like that and LEOs. Let's be a little bit more grown, right? You don't have to agree with everyone. So that's pretty much it. Other than that, two good releases. Not perfect for everyone, but two good releases. And I'm gonna pop out, go back to training. This was my lunch hour, I guess. And hopefully pretty soon we'll have another brand. It's gonna be great. You guys are gonna love it. Brand, or I should say maybe two brands at once? I don't know. If you read between lines, maybe you can figure it out. But see you guys soon. Hopefully, you guys enjoy it and talk to you guys.